Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton here with you this afternoon, and you are in for a real treat. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Equisources LLC, Miss Leslie Casper. How are you, Leslie?
Oh, Stone, I'm great. And this is really an honor to be here. Thank you for having us.
Well, it is my pleasure. We are delighted to have you on the show. I know we've got some exciting news to share, a lot to talk about. But before we go there, can you give our listeners kind of an overview, a primer of Equisources LLC, mission, purpose? What are you out there trying to do for folks?
In a nutshell, we're a family-owned brand new business that focuses in the equine industry. So we are horse enthusiasts and little crazy horse enthusiasts who've come up with a product to make it nicer for horses. We help horses by cooling them down. Essentially, we have a product that we developed to use with our own horses to help them feel better when they were competing. And we quickly realized that the way they responded was something we needed to share with everybody else who loved their horse. So it helps them, helps their respiration and their heart rate and their core temperature come down in a way that nothing else does.
Okay, so let's talk about the backstory a little bit. You and your daughters, who I understand are in the business with you and are going to be joining us on the show as well. You've been around horses for much of your life, I guess. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Well, I grew up in Long Island, New York, and horses were definitely a part of what I loved. I didn't get to participate with them the way in which my husband and mine's daughters have. It happened driving down the road, and Olivia at the time was 4 years old. She looked in a pasture and she said, "Yep, I want to ride one of those." And I thought, oh, here we go. So it, you know, next thing you know, we were half leasing a little pony and then we never looked back. Mackenzie never will remember a day that horses were not part of her life, because from that point forward with Olivia, we had ponies and then we had horses and then we had multiple horses and then we had a farm, and it just became very family-centered. It wasn't so much just the competing. It was more so the entire involvement with the horses. They were always on our property, and the girls learned how to manage their horses medically and physically and nutritionally, and then the competing came as a secondary aspect, but it was just something that they loved. We couldn't stop them.
Okay, Olivia, is this how you remember? Is this really all your fault?
I mean, I don't really remember the whole driving in the car thing, but I do have some pretty early memories of riding my little ponies in the backfield, and they're great memories.
All right, so let's talk about the origin story of the product. It was born out of, it sounds like so many products are, out of a real need, a necessity, a hole in somebody's swing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We were in Tryon and we were competing, and it is, anybody who knows, it is hot, hot, hot there. And the heat index was way up. So you had the heat, the humidity, and we had a Sunday competition class with our young jumper. So you're basically asking the horse to go into the ring twice if they make it around the first time without knocking anything over and under a time limit. And then they have to wait until they are invited back in to do a shortened course, which again is for, you know, keeping things up, keeping the rails up, and doing it as fast as possible. And Lenny didn't want to play. He was hot and tired and bothered, and he wanted to go back to the stall and relax. And, you know, we needed to convince him otherwise. So we tried everything. We, you know, Mackenzie was very industrious and thinking how we could cool him down, because there's nothing at the ring that really, other than an occasional fan and a little shade, you can take the, you know, the heat away and give him a little respite while they wait. And sometimes they wait like 30 minutes, depending upon how big the class was. So we tried a bunch of stuff, and, you know, the towel on the neck didn't do much. And then later we found that was not a good idea. And literally my husband and I, John and I, were sitting outside the stalls. We had just cleaned the stalls and Lenny had not done real well after having waited. And he turned to me and he said, honey, there is a product here. We need to develop something that can help the horses feel better. And that was it. We never looked back. By the time we drove home, we had had a caravan and we were on the phones and we had a plan and we executed that plan in 24 hours. We went to Walmart. We got the materials. We had a prototype and we were doing testing within 48 hours and we were blown away by how well what we made worked.
So in your family, in your circle, you didn't have that person pop up and say, oh, well, that won't work, or that's too expensive, or we can't afford it, or we're not business people. Everybody got behind this quick, it sounds like.
We did. Ignorance is truly bliss. We were just a bunch of enthusiastic people, and, you know, you follow your dreams, but we're non-traditional to begin with. John and I decided early on that homeschooling was something we were going to do to be able to incorporate travel and education and experiences into the educational foundation of the girls. And so, yeah, we sort of marched to our own tune.
So where do you think this entrepreneurial spirit comes from? Is it that sort of renegade culture that permeates your house already, or was there some other seed there?
I think if you ask some people who know us well, we're kind of nonconformists. We're a little anti-establishment. We follow the rules, kind of, sort of, but we have fun. It's got to be fun. And for the moment, this was really fun.
So when you first started going out there and socializing the idea, talking to people about it, Were most people, wow, where you been all our lives? Or were some people kind of raising the eyebrows and being not embracing it as quickly? Did you run into that? What was the climate when you started socializing the idea?
Such a good question. Okay, so we kept really quiet about it. We let it, our inner circle of other horse enthusiasts who had their own horses at their one or two barns, invited us in to conduct testing other than just our horses, and they were blown away. But we made everybody sign, non-disclosure agreements, and we were very cautious in the beginning. And then we went to work testing. And I think for us, the most remarkable thing that happened was during the course of our prototypes, one of our horses got really sick. And we didn't know what to do. And medication would not help him with his fever. And so if you can imagine, a 1,200-pound animal with 106 temperature that for 2 weeks, we couldn't break it. By the time, you give them all the medication that it would take to get it down, it just really tears up their insides. So Mackenzie was really the one who said, Mom, go get the Caracool. And we put that on Lenny at the time. And it brought down his temperature 3 degrees every time we used it. So it was really the only thing that allowed him to break the fever and then start eating and drinking, which for horses is essential. Otherwise, they can go downhill really fast. So we were blown away.
Well, I'm sure that was very scary at the time, but it had to be incredibly inspiring and motivate you to redouble your efforts and keep working it through. Let's talk about the product itself. Walk us through what it is, how it works, and let's get into a little detail about the product itself.
Okay, so simply put, it's a kit, and it's I'll share a little inside secret. John, when we got home from try-on that weekend, he got right on the internet because he had this vision of how he felt the product should be carried. And he said, it's got to be carried in a bag. And I thought, yeah, okay, well, let me know when you figure that one out. He ordered what the golfers referred to as a beer coolator. I don't know. You carry beer cans in it. And so it's a long cylinder type insulated cooler. We just made it a little bigger to fit a towel that was, specially cut and fits around the neck of the horse, made out of polyvinyl acetate. So it's kind of like a sponge material, fabricated sponge material, very thin. Golfers wear it, joggers wear it. It's like that frog tog material. So it's absorbent. And we decided that we not only wanted something absorbent, but we wanted something cold. So John's idea was to line the insulated cooler bag with ice packs that would go in the freezer. So you take the ice packs out of the freezer, put them in the cooler bag, wet the towel, roll it up, and stick it in the bag and close it. And then the wrap would get really cold. So we've refined it over the years and we've added a couple of components to it, but essentially that's what it is. So it's a icy cold towel that you carry with you anywhere you want, whether you're, you know, hauling your horse or up at the ring competing or on a trail ride or, you know, going to the Olympics, whatever. And when you decide it's time, you take the wrap out of the bag, you put it on the horse's neck, and you just stand back and watch them enjoy it. And it brings down their breathing, it brings down their temperature and their heart rate.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the conversation that you learned later or discovered that just throwing a cool wet towel on the horse's neck wasn't really a good idea. And I know you've mentioned in some of your marketing copy or product description copy, you specifically say to safely bring down their body temperature ringside or back at the barn. So there must be something to that where it is clearly a much more effective and safe solution than throwing a wet towel on their neck. Yeah,
absolutely. Not to get too like researchy techie. It when you put something of like a towel, you're stifling the heat. You're not helping the horse do what its body naturally does, which is to use its skin for evaporation. So you're suffocating it basically. With our product, because it's evaporative and because it's adding the cold wetness of the towel and then sucking out the heat from the horse, you're really doing it through conduction. So hot to cold, you know, things are going to go in that way, and mm-hmm. also through evaporation. And you don't want it to happen too quickly. They say statistically 1 degree for every 30 minutes. And it just so happens that ours takes down the core temperature in about 90 minutes. It'll come down about 3 degrees, but the good effects and the fast effects are really through respiration and heart rate. Those are what this addresses first.
So I'd like all three of you to address this hypothesis of mine, if you would, in whatever order is practical and makes sense for you guys. But I'm getting the distinct sense that you didn't start out with a financial motive. Like, okay, what's a way this family can make more money based on our knowledge of horses? Money wasn't the, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it was the motivation behind this thing. And can you guys, I'd like all three of you to just speak to that a little bit. First of all, is it true? And if so, you know, how and why?
Yeah, so Mackenzie here. For us, our main focus has always been to make the horse feel better. So it's amazing that we get to provide a product that helps the horse owners and handlers and anyone who uses the towel to bring comfort to their horses. And the money is a result of being able to help these horses who, I know for me, it's not just an animal, it's a partner, because they're there every step of the way of the process with you in the ring, outside of the ring. So that's been a huge part of it for us. And I think when you're truly passionate about something, then we believe the money will just follow that.
And this is Leslie. I'm going to say that I couldn't have said it more perfectly. If it fits into our philosophy as a family, we really believe that truly what we always provide is going to be of greater value than the amount of money that's going to exchange hands. The money kind of comes secondarily, but it's the value. And that's what, you know, really makes us sit back and say, are we providing value? Are we giving something of worth? Are we adding to the well-being of the horses, of the owners, of the, you know, the society, you know, not to get too grandiose, but, you know, once you got that down and it happens naturally, then the money just follows. And it, I mean, it's nice, but it's not at all.
And if I could add just like one little tidbit to that, I guess, I mean, it's every company's goal to, you know, make a profit, which is great. Like, don't get me wrong, but I think seeing the horses relax and just seeing them happier and feel better, it just makes me feel better as a person. I don't know. Like, I never want to put my partner, my horse in a uncomfortable situation, and we are asking them to compete in a really hot climate. Like, it's not fun to run around out there in 95 degrees, but knowing that I can provide instant relief, which is the carry cool, it just makes me feel better when I ask them to perform for me.
So how does the whole sales and marketing thing work for you guys? Everything from do you need to, or maybe have you already worked toward protecting the idea, to how do you get it out there to a critical mass of horse owners so that you really can have a lasting impact?
Well, that's such a good question. You know, I'm going to be the first to admit that I am not the sales-oriented individual in this family. Both the girls are in college. Well, Olivia's graduated from college, but she's going into her master's in business. Mackenzie's doing her undergraduate. I was a psychotherapist, so what did I know about sales? I do know what makes me happy when I am a customer. I know how relationships are key. The easy part for us is we don't follow any definitive business lines. We've been in the business. We've been in the industry. We have fabulous connections. We have utilized those from day one as we were refining the product. And we knew that when we revealed it, because we have always been intricately involved in the competition side and in the veterinarian side, that part would be easy. We have established ourselves legally with a patent. We were just granted the patent within the last month. So that's thrilling, because that's been a 3-year step-by-step process. And we did it ourselves, which is even more thrilling. We really learned a lot about what goes into, you know, writing a patent and doing the claims and making sure you do it correctly. But yeah, the girls have been essential in the sales side, because, you know, they've got their peer group and the trainers and the other riders across the industry. And, you know, in the social media aspect, they've done an enormous good job all along. I mean, they had it established. We stepped into a well-formed social media account for, you know, all across the board. So Facebook and Instagram, and, you know, they refine it and do it. They've got followings, which is really humbling.
That's great. Now, is your world, I'll share a page out of our playbook and our world, the sales and marketing world that we play in at Business Radio X. There are centers of influence, like people who have a great deal of influence over different constituencies. And I'm thinking maybe in your world too, there's a competitor or a manufacturer or some of those people. I mean, I suspect if you haven't already, you're going to start getting some of those folks to say some nice things about your product, aren't you?
This is Olivia. We actually got a huge shout out from an amazing rider. His name is McLean Ward. He's gone to the Olympics. He's done World Equestrian Games, competed all over the world. And he put up a post for us. It was about a couple days ago, saying, you know, his horse just competed and now he's relaxing with his carry cool wrap and, you know, check out Equisources. And I almost died when I saw that come through, because, like, these are people that, you know, you grow up watching and, you know, somewhat idolizing, because they're just such an accomplished athlete. And then you see them put up a shout out to something that, you know, your family created. And it's just such an amazing feeling. Like, I can't describe it. And we've gotten a couple other professionals that have also put out these, I guess it's like an endorsement on social media. And it's just, it's amazing, honestly. Like, we're so grateful.
Yeah, that has to feel incredibly good. That's congratulations on getting your patent and getting the endorsement. Before we wrap, and I'd actually like to ask all three of you to contribute if you can, and it might be a little bit unfair because I didn't prep you with the fact that I was going to ask this question, because I didn't know I was, but I think I will. If each of you maybe could leave our listeners, particularly those who maybe are aspiring entrepreneurs, maybe they're thinking about getting out there and trying to serve people with a product or an idea or a service. If you could just share maybe from your family philosophy, your experience with launching this product, just a bit of counsel that might help them pave the way four of them. Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll launch into it and I'll say that, you know, don't ever, ever let anyone tell you, you can't do something. Whatever, you know, thoughts turn to things all the time. If you've got it in your heart and you've got it as a passionate part of who you are, don't ever, ever not do it.
Fantastic.
Mackenzie here. I just think don't give up. Like, you know, not to sound cheesy, but stuff's going to get hard and you just got to keep pushing through and you can do it. And even if not everyone supports you, it's really how you feel about yourself and your own capabilities, and anything is possible if you just put your mind to it.
So to wrap it up, my suggestion would be to find the field of work that you're passionate about. If there's something that speaks to you, I would say follow it and then keep an eye out for something that you think you could improve upon and then build upon that concept. And I feel like that will lead you towards a new invention or a new product. And it's just kind of capturing that entrepreneurial attitude.
Wow. I am so glad I asked. nicely done, ladies. All right. Where can we get our hands on this product? And if someone would like to have a conversation with any of the three of you, what is the best way for them to connect? Whatever you think is appropriate, whether it's the website or email or LinkedIn. But let's make sure that our listeners have a way to connect with you guys and have a way to get their hands on this product.
So you can go to our website, which is www.equisources.com. And the other ways to interact with us would be on social media. Facebook, it's Equisources LLC. And Instagram, it's just Equisources. Look for the photo of the horse with the blue neck wrap on. That's us. Click it. And, you know, our email's on there, our phone number is on there. It's very easy to get in contact with us. We're responsive and, that's it.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having all three of you on the show. Thank you for sharing your insight, your wisdom and your story. This has been a great deal of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for our guests today, Mackenzie, Olivia, and Leslie. And, you know, we ought to give a shout out to John, too, because the light bulb went off for him when he was at that event. And everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.